This is Tim Holbert from the American Veterans Center. The mission of the center is to provide an opportunity for America's servicemen and women of every generation to share their stories of valor. It also seeks to pass on the legacy of our veterans and military personnel to younger generations, teaching them the value of service and sacrifice. As part of this program, we are inviting our interns for this summer to step in and serve as hosts of an episode of Profiles in Valor. This week's host is Katie Denson.
My guest today is U.S. Army Reserve Staff Sergeant Brian Hawthorne, recipient of the Bronze Star for actions in Operation Iraqi Freedom. Staff Sergeant Hawthorne, your military career began with the Army Reserve in 2003. Tell us about your first tour in Mosul, Iraq in 2005.
Sure. So I was a civil affairs specialist, and what civil affairs is charged to do is to interact with the local civilian population that our military is operating around. I was south of Mosul on a base called FOB Endurance, and what we were doing is we were trying to develop this area as far as governance and infrastructure, building water plants and arranging everything, building clinics, and I trained Iraqi medics for a while with the new Iraqi army, which was very rewarding. So my job was kind of everything. We would go from different parts of our very large area in the northern part of Iraq, and I mean, one day we might be at a school, and the next day we'd be at a clinic, and the next day we'd be helping refugees try and figure out where they belong. So it was a very interesting and diverse tour. I got to interact a lot with the Iraqi culture, which was a great opportunity.
Right. How receptive would you say the Iraqi population was to your efforts?
At that time, they were very, very appreciative. We had a really great area. The units that we worked for and the 172nd Infantry Brigade were very positive, and so people really wanted to see us, and we were really able to make a lot of difference. And we spent millions of dollars trying to develop the very depressed area, getting kids into school and getting supplies to Iraqi doctors and building facilities and also standing up the Iraqi army as we went along.
Now, you were redeployed to Baghdad with the 450th Civil Affairs Battalion in 2007. Were you still doing the same things, or had your job changed?
Well, my job had changed because I'd become the company medic, and so I do EMS and medicine in the civilian world. But when I redeployed in that position, and we were in Baghdad as part of the surge, and we were in the main effort of the surge area in what was called Rashid in southern Baghdad under the 1st Infantry Division. So that was a very different environment because we did not have as much freedom of movement. It was a much more hostile area, and I was the company medic, gotten promoted, so I was more responsible for the medical needs of my unit and then also the security needs of my unit. I was also the security NCO, ran a lot of convoys, so I got to be a convoy commander running all these convoys in and around Baghdad, trying to get our people to where they needed to be for these meetings and development, just trying to help out as best as we can with the resources that we were given.
Now, for your actions as medic, you did receive the Bronze Star, and I believe that day was September 26, 2007. Could you take us through that day and tell us about the events that led up to that?
Sure. So we were traveling from a district council meeting to, I think it was a water treatment plant, or we never made it. So we were traveling through Baghdad. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and five-vehicle convoy. I was in the second vehicle, and we just turned off a main road and went through an Iraqi police checkpoint, and the vehicle behind us was struck by an IED, and a certain type of IED called an explosively formed penetrator. It basically takes a piece of copper, and the piece of copper is in front of a pallet of explosives, and so when the explosives go off, the copper melts and becomes this kind of ball of lava. It's just melted metal that is designed to go through very thick armor. And so there were seven or eight of these right in a row, and they all hit the third vehicle. And so it just Swiss cheese this truck. What it does is it just goes right to the vehicle at any point that's metal, and it makes the rest of the metal melt. And so it just turns the entire truck into a shotgun blast. So we had four lightly injured with shrapnel wounds, and then two of the slugs actually hit the gunner, who was Sergeant Chandler, who was one of my best friends. He was hit in his upper right thigh and his lower left arm. And we describe it as it looked like someone put a football through his leg. I could have put my head into his leg. That's how big the hole was. We stopped our truck. And after they radioed back that they had casualties, I dismounted and ran back, and we got all the other four casualties out of there. And then I climbed in and pulled Sean down from the gun, threw tourniquets on, put a lot of pressure on. I packed the wound as best I could. But I really couldn't stop the bleeding as effectively as I wanted to or as I needed to. So we made the decision that we really needed to just get out of there. But then we called for security, and fortunately there were a lot of units in the area. So an infantry platoon came and secured the area for us. and we took this downed vehicle that could still roll. The doors were kind of hanging on by a thread, and we limped back to the Green Zone ER. By the time we got to the Green Zone, we got through the gate, and the tires had caught fire, and the vehicle just had given up. But I think it knew that it needed to get to Green Zone, where we were relatively safe. So we moved it to another vehicle and got into the ER.
Now, you volunteered for this job as a medic, correct? You weren't
Yes.
initially assigned. So did you have any idea, I mean, when you were volunteering, that you would be put in this kind of a situation?
Sure. And it's part of my job, and I've done civilian EMS for a number of years, and I work in a civilian emergency department now. So, I mean, that was what I wanted to do. I love tactical medicine. It's one of my kind of favorite things. And so I really enjoy that part of my job. I like providing medicine on the ground, and that kind of field or street medicine is what I've kind of developed a little career in. So I enjoy it. And so I was glad that I was able to use my skills and my experience, you know, to save one of my best friends.
I'm sure Sergeant Chandler was happy for that as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was at his wedding 2 months to the day beforehand, and his wife kind of pulled me aside afterward, you know, and said, "You better come home." So I was thinking about her that day.
Good, good. Also, I know that you're a student at George Washington University.
Right.
Was that a hard transition for you to come back from combat life and to switch to college life?
Yeah, and I was already accepted to GW when I got deployed to Baghdad, so I had to defer my admission in order to be able to go. And so I got back on Memorial Day of last year, and I was in college 3 months later. And so that's a very abrupt transition, but it was one that I was pretty prepared for because I was already accepted and I already had a plan and I knew where I was going and they knew I was coming. So I was able to start, networking and making sure that they knew I was coming beforehand. And so when I got to GW, I met up with some other veterans, and we started a veterans organization at GW. And so we're the GW Veterans Organization. And what we do is we advocate for veterans on campus in order to, you know, just build a community and make sure that the school is providing us the services that we and our peers need in order to succeed in school. And it's a tough transition to come back. Some of us are 6 or 8 or 10 years older than our peers in school, and we just got back from war, and it's not the most military friendly place to be. And so in order to change that, we started this organization to build this community, and it's gone really well. We've had a lot of success.
Yeah, that's great. How would one go about obtaining information about the group that you just described, or about how to start a similar one on their own campus?
Sure. Well, we're under an umbrella organization called Student Veterans of America, and that's studentveterans.org. And I'm the D.C. director, so any school in D.C., I try and work with every school in D.C. to develop veterans organizations and make sure that they're using the resources as best they can. And so what Student Veterans of America does is we help develop best practices to provide recommendations to schools to develop these programs. And so to that end, we got free mental health counseling at GW, making sure that financial aid is aware of all the benefits that we're eligible for, bringing veterans onto campus to talk about their careers. We had an African forum where we had me and a few other student veterans talk about our experiences and ask and answer questions. And, I mean, they ran the gamut, you know, but the student population was very interested, but they didn't have a lot of exposure to veterans before this. And so now we're able to do our own advocacy, and we're able to tell our stories, which really helps build this community and builds this bond with the school. But I would encourage, you know, all the vets when they're coming back to go to school. And if there isn't an organization already, start one. Contact us. We're all free. We don't cost any money. We just want to help and get that community going so that our brothers and sisters can come back and come into a school that supports them, that's ready for them.
Right. Well, Staff Sergeant Brian Hawthorne of U.S. Army Reserve, recipient of the Bronze Star for actions in Operation Iraqi Freedom, we thank you for your service.
Profiles in Valor is produced by the American Veterans Center and Radio America. To hear more profiles, subscribe on iTunes or visit www.americanveteranscenter.org.